Should the Obama White House send more U.S. troops to Afghanistan? A majority of Americans now say they do not back the war there, according to a CNN Research Corporation survey. Democratic Senator Russ Feingold says he's not sure more boots on the ground will produce better results.
I think it's possible, and others have confirmed this concern, that we are actually potentially driving these extremists into Pakistan, which frankly is a much more dangerous place.
The government is reporting that retail sales rose 2.7% last month over July. Even though the numbers were helped by the Cash for Clunkers program, they were even better than many economists expected. Economist David Weiss is cautiously optimistic.
This is more evidence that things are turning around. Understand, we're still losing jobs, and until we start gaining some jobs, I'm not going to call the recession over. But, you know, the housing has stabilized. We're seeing the consumer come back. Factory orders are up. All of that suggests that things are looking up.
Local media report two students got into a fight at Coral Gables Senior High in Florida this morning, and one was stabbed. A suspect was taken into custody. The school's been locked down. No word on the stabbing victim, though. Actor and dancer Patrick Swayze has died of pancreatic cancer. He was a star of such films as Dirty Dancing and Ghost. He was interviewed on ABC early this year and was asked whether he was scared of dying.
I will be so either truthful or stupid as to say no. But then immediately when I say that, I have to say yes, I am.
Patrick Swayze was 57. Mexican federal authorities have arrested 124 law enforcement officials in Hidalgo State in central Mexico on suspicion of being linked to the Zetas drug cartel. It's considered the country's most ruthless crime syndicate. And Somalia says a senior al-Qaeda operative has been killed in a U.S. airstrike in southern Somalia. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most, like special order Anderson windows and patio doors, now 10% off, only at the Home Depot. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 23rd in U.S. only. See store for details.
At Vanguard, our investment philosophy is based on simple truths. For example, investment costs count, because while you can't control whether your investments will go up or down, you can control one thing, costs. It's your money. Hold on to it. To learn more about our low costs, visit Vanguard.com or call 1-800-VANGUARD. And remember, all investments involve some risk. Vanguard, the simple truth about investing.
People who get federal, military, or Social Security benefits would get a special $150 payment in January under a plan before Congress. This is Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey. But before you plan a madcap long weekend to Ocean City, be advised the one-time, one-shot payment would be instead of the regular cost of living adjustment retirees have grown to love, like the 5.8% they got this year. So what's up? Check out my column, Mike Causey's Federal Report, at federalnewsradio.com.
Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Nothing is more certain than death and taxes? We've all heard that before. But there's something else you can count on, realizing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. I'm Wayne Zell. Join me every Saturday for Blueprint for Wealth. We discuss taxes, estate planning, and business planning topics. Listen to the show every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. here on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio, because you can count on more than death and taxes.
When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm here with Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. Before we started, I was telling Joe who the typical listener is, and it's kind of a strange crowd I have listening. Many times the people who are listening manage phone systems, or they may do software development, or they may do a wide range of topics, but they hear something like Citrix or Accelera, and they go, what does that company do, and how can it help me? And that's what it's all about. It's about the listeners, Joe. And what we're going to do today is talk about Accelera Solutions, how they can help our listeners, talk a little about Citrix, maybe talk about health records and deploying virtual systems, a whole bunch of different topics today. But the first topic is going to be you, Joe. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you wound up being the big dog over at Accelera Solutions?
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate you having me again. And well, it's kind of an interesting story. I started out with a consulting firm called Radiant Systems a long time ago, about 15 years ago in Alexandria. And we were, big in the dot-com era. We got purchased a couple times and ended up at Citrix Systems, being a member of their systems integration teams there, and learned a lot about virtualization while I was part of their company. And myself and one of the other people I worked with at Citrix Systems left and started up Accelera Solutions along with a couple of other folks. And so we've been in the consulting virtualization business for 7.5 years. We really know it very well. And we think we have a lot to offer the folks out there who are, just now sort of scratching the surface in a virtualization world.
And I think it's true. I think 2 years ago, the big story was virtualizing servers, and that was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, that was, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But now people are looking at beyond virtualizing the server to virtualizing the desktop. And I think many of my listeners may have read articles about it or attended seminars, and they're scratching their heads going, well, is this going to be a pain in the neck? I mean, what's the ROI? I mean, I know I have a mandate. I have to do something here in the next couple of years, but how can I take and securely, set up some kind of virtual desktop? So give us, from a perspective of Accelera, what do you provide for the federal IT professional that's different from other companies, and why should they even visit your website?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's a great question, John. We focus in on the virtualization space. This is what we do day in and day out. So we like to think of ourselves as a boutique consulting firm, and we take a very agnostic approach to our solutions development, solutions implementations. So we represent the major virtualization manufacturers out in the space, and we apply the appropriate technology set to the business challenge that the customer has, which makes us a little different than a lot of other folks. Most companies these days in the virtualization space represent one or maybe two manufacturers, and they typically push a given technology. They don't really leverage the appropriate technology for the appropriate situation in all cases.
If you just do a quick survey, Citrix in this market, Parallels, VMware, Microsoft, I mean, it's going to be more than this down the road, and it's difficult to know which is the best fit for what situation. I would think it's tough. And with the background like yours, you can say, well, Citrix may be the right situation here, but in a different application, it may not fit at all.
That's true. And a lot of times we mix and match the technologies to develop the appropriate solution. So we work with the market leaders for the given platforms and technologies that we bring to bear on a given business challenge. And so we represent Microsoft and Citrix and VMware, and we use a variety of virtualization technologies from these companies. And develop enterprise class solutions as a result of being able to aggregate these technologies together for our customer base.
If you're listening and you want to visit acceleracolutions.com, you'll get hit over the head with all these awards you've won. I mean, we give you the next 45 minutes to talk about. Just give us two or three of your most recent awards here. I mean, you guys are doing something, right?
Well, we're very proud of all the accolades we've received from both the industry and from the manufacturing partners that we do business with. This year, we are the North American Partner of the Year for Citrix Systems, and for the past 3 years in a row, we've been the Federal Partner of the Year for Citrix Systems. We're very proud of that. We have a fantastic relationship with those folks, and they're very supportive of all the work we're doing in the virtualization space. We've also been on the Inc. 500 the past 2 years. This year, we rose up over 100 spots on the Inc. 500 list, which is fantastic. And I was just told last night, I was notified that we were in the top fastest growing companies, fast 50 growing companies in the Washington metropolitan area.
You got Fast 50, you got Fantastic 50, you got Federal News Radio, we got all kinds of alliteration here. Well, it's obvious, I mean, you're doing something correct. You're growing fast in a lot of different areas. So if you're considering deploying a Citrix solution, you folks can assist in, I guess, the design of it and the training as well. That's why I saw you can get trained by you guys, or you can say, no, I know what I'm doing. I need to get three of my people over and get them up to speed with Citrix. Can you help with that? And you can.
Yeah, no, we're our company really is a one-stop shop, I like to tell people. Yeah, we can work with you in the beginning when you're thinking about these business initiatives and programs that you need to adhere to for the next year, and we can help you develop a strategic roadmap, technology roadmap, in order to be able to take advantage of those and do things like align yourself with presidential mandates for certain things like telework and for green IT and things of that nature. And then we can also take you all the way down to the design phase of the technology solution. We can source the technology for you. We can bring to bear the engineering staff in order to be able to implement and then do post support and training of your staff as well. We can also at any point interject and do part of that entire life cycle.
And that's what I like, is that it's a pick and choose. It's a buffet. If I have staff that are pretty up to speed with your technology, but I got to get a few others, we can use you, or we can use you for the whole package or just bits and pieces as we choose. You know, there are people listening who are getting the shoulder put to them for telework. They're saying we have to rise number percentage people telework. I mean, I think this is a good application for Citrix and for you folks on, okay, we're at 23%. We got to be at 25% by the end of the year. What are you going to do, Joe, to turn that around? How are you going to make it easy? I think this is what my listeners are faced with, you know? They're doing 15 things. They're getting frustrated. They got mandates thrown at them. They're about to jump out the basement window, and now they got to bump up the number of teleworkers securely. That's where you fit in.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a big challenge for people today to figure out what the appropriate technology set is to develop a telework solution for their organization. What we used to be faced with was, there was big technology challenges out there. Today, those technology barriers are gone. And now what we have to do is, look at the market leaders, look at Citrix, look at VMware, look at Microsoft, derive the appropriate technology set, implement it, and then get over the political and the cultural challenges that telework, it puts in front of us today. And, to be quite honest with you, we've been implementing telework solutions since day one of our organization. So as late as 7 years ago, we implemented enterprise-wide telework solutions for some of the smaller federal agencies who were on the cutting edge.
We have to take a quick break, Joe. When we come back, we'll talk more about making transition from virtualizing servers to virtualizing the desktop. Maybe talk about a little bit about healthcare management and other related issues with Accelera Solutions. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions.
Listen to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM throughout the day for the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Join the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Jane Norris, mornings from 6 to 10. In Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3. And The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris, afternoons from 3 to 7. Find all the news you need 24-7 at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions, talking about virtualization. Now, two or three years ago, the big story was virtualizing servers. And now I think people are more and more assuming, of course, that's a no-brainer. That's what everyone does. Let's talk about the desktop. I think there are big advantages to virtualizing a desktop. Patch management is one. Continuity of operations is probably another. Security is another. But there's some challenges in there, too. And I want to, I'm going to put myself in the position of a listener, and I got you, and I'm going to just drill you and say, well, you know, a guy across the street, he's virtualizing a lot of his desktops. I want to do it, too. But what about things like pipes? I mean, do I need a big pipe to virtualize, or what are the rules for virtualization of desktops?
Sure. That's a great question, John. I think a lot of people are trying to figure that out. You know, I think of the, I like to talk to people about, you know, cloud computing, too, a lot of times, and this is kind of bringing some clarity to the cloud to a certain extent, right? You know, desktop virtualization ultimately allows you to be able to centralize your desktop operating systems into your data center. And if you use a technology like a Citrix Zen desktop technology or VMware Vue technology, they have a very efficient delivery protocol that they use to communicate with the end user's devices. And, you know, on average, you're looking at about a 20 kilobit session. So ultimately, everything depends on the number of end users that are accessing the virtual desktops that are in the data center.
So is, you know, if I were in this position of running an organization's IT, I would say, well, instead of buying new computers, what we're going to do is just going to replace them with less powerful computers, thin clients, and then slowly migrate into a virtual desktop this way rather than just rip and replace. Is that a strategy you've seen, or do you believe in the rip and replace technique?
We absolutely tell people to take advantage of the investments they already have in place. Don't go in and you know, gut your desktops and take all of them out and try to replace them right away. You can really extend the life cycle of a desktop computer that you already have. We can help you to secure it and really lock it down so that there's nothing really living there or working and operating there. And then we'll go ahead and leverage a virtual desktop that's running back in your data center to be able to, you know, perform all your normal day-to-day business functions, have Microsoft Office installed on it, use Exchange, use all those great features and functions that you need to work on a daily basis there.
So we touched on speed a little bit here. What about storage? I mean, if I have 5,000 people with 60 gigabyte hard drives, I got to get a little pencil and paper out and figure out how much storage I need at the data center, don't I? Or is there a formula for that?
Yeah, you know, that was a major challenge about up until about 2 years ago, really. Citrix did a really interesting thing. They found a technology that they ended up purchasing, and it was called Ardence before. It's now called Provisioning Server from Citrix. This technology, what it does is it allows you to have create one virtual disk and associate multiple operating systems or virtual desktops with one virtual disk. So you get a many-to-one relationship. So your storage is reduced dramatically. Your storage cost goes down dramatically by being able to have one virtual disk to support one role in your organization.
So we have the server virtualization enabling the desktop virtualization, kind of working hand in hand. This is almost a perfect situation, a perfect storm.
It certainly is. You know, it's funny that server virtualization was sort of the first big wave of this happening. And people quickly realized that being able to, you know, give an end user their own operating system to be able to work with, you know, like from the development perspective, software development perspective, really lended itself well to the model of creating desktop virtualization. So that was one of the, I think, the big things. That's where they kind of crossed the chasm over into true virtual desktop.
Here's a problem many of my listeners may have. A boss comes up to them and says, FDCC, okay, let's go. We got to push this on everyone. And by the end of the year, we want to be at 60% or 7%. Or I don't know what the number is. It's a magic mm-hmm. number. And so my listeners are, these are the ones who are tasked with doing this. You would think that this type of a remote desktop would enable them to provide compliance with FDCC easier than going to every single computer on the whole. I mean, that's tedious.
Well, you know, we always look for, when we start talking to our customers, a compelling event. And the FDCC is a compelling event for a lot of people. Their challenges are today, if they try to do it in a traditional distributed desktop model, you know, does my desktop hardware support the appropriate operating system? Can I push updates, patches, lockdowns to these desktop operating systems? And then once I do, okay, how do I deal with the statistical outliers that need different applications that don't work correctly in the FDCC, you know, operating system? And so virtual desktops can solve that problem for you. And the great part about it is that you can roll out the FDCC virtual desktop image to your users in waves. And your end users, if there's any reason why there's a problem, you can easily roll it back and it's a very dynamic, fluid situation where you can deal with the FTCC in a phased approach, very controlled, and make it work for you.
You know, 10 years ago, I was with a lot of my listeners. I was taking those tests where you get certified for, network certification with different fancy letters after my name, and took a bunch of those tests. And it was a pain, but you had to do it in order to be able to understand networking. And I think today, this whole concept of patching once and push many, I think that can be fraught with issues as well. I mean, you can break software doing that. Well, guess what? It's 2009. Technology has changed. Back in 99, you could afford to send one person out for 40 machines to make sure they're compliant. You just can't afford that today. Staff's being reduced. You have to be smarter about this whole approach. And you may have an emotional discomfort with desktop virtualization. Get over it. You don't have a choice anymore.
That's true, John. You know, that's one of the biggest challenges people are trying to overcome today. You know, a lot of the CIOs out there in the federal space are tired of spending the lion's share of their budget every year on desktop maintenance and management.
It's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money. And they really want to get out of that desktop refresh treadmill cycle they've been on for so long. And what we're trying to do for them is being able to allow them to leverage the desktops they already have. We'll call it dumb those desktops down and kind of make them, so they're not a security threat, and then leverage virtual desktop infrastructure to be able to get to the latest and greatest operating system, to get to the latest FTCC compliance regulations, and be able to do things like spend more time on more strategic opportunities in their organization and spend their budget on other things besides desktops.
A lot of desktops are in hospitals across the United States and a lot of federal hospitals. The Veterans Health Administration got a lot of desktops. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, talk about your initiatives with working with electronic health records, EHRs, and making them secure, because it sure is a hot topic. You turn the TV, you see all kinds of town hall meetings across the United States. What are they talking about? They're not talking about virtualization.
Healthcare.
Although in my world, they'd be talking about virtual servers. They're talking about healthcare and how to make it secure and how to make it effective. And when we take a break, we'll get back. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Joe Brown, owner of Accelera Solutions.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions. Before the break, we talked about certification. We talked about years ago getting those silly certifications, but if you pick up Network World, this month's edition, you find out a little block in here. It's called a sidebar. It's which IT certifications are hot. Number three is Citrix Certified Integration Architect. Isn't that something? Of all the things.
It's amazing, John. You know, that I would never have thought that. We were discussing that a little bit earlier. And, that's a very sought-after certification. At Accelera Solutions, we happen to have several of these folks on staff that have trained very diligently to get the certification. It is very difficult to achieve. But when people do achieve it, you know that they are the top, they're the cream of the crop engineering resources in Citrix.
Let's take the smarts and put it in work boots, okay?
Right.
So, we got a bunch of smart people here. What's the application? Health IT. Talk about military health IT and how you've used this virtualization to make health IT more secure.
Sure. So for a long, long time, the most... most popular vertical that Citrix Systems has had for their technology has been the healthcare world. So, especially in the commercial side of the house, a lot of commercial healthcare organizations have implemented Citrix technology to deliver their EHR applications and EMR applications out to their clinicians throughout the hospitals, and they have leveraged thin clients for a long time in the commercial healthcare space. The great part about leveraging virtual desktop infrastructure and application virtualization technologies is that what it really does is it centralizes the applications and data into your data center, and it removes the need to install the applications out on the desktop, and therefore it also eliminates data at rest security issues. So, we've seen agencies lose laptops. We've seen breaches in data security because data at rest on laptops and on DVDs and things like that have left organizations. Quite frankly, they weren't using a centralized computing model. And virtualization supports a centralized computing model, which ultimately improves your data security and your application security.
You know, years ago when people started talking about virtualizing servers, it was obvious you could save money because you could run multiple applications on one server. And I think that was the thrust. It was saving money. Go Green was kind of there, but you could really do a whole lot more with virtualization. But one of the ancillary benefits is security, which I don't think people really emphasized in the early stage. And so if you look at a federal application for medical health records, everyone's going to be pounding on the table saying, hey, I don't want my information to get out there. Well, one way to ensure that is with virtualization, kind of an ancillary benefit, but maybe the tail be wagging the dog. Maybe that'll be the main benefit.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that we have this, you know, obviously there's a major push in throughout the country right now to develop electronic health records for people so that there's some transparency to their records and so that they can, follow the patient from location to location and from doctor to doctor, provider to provider, things like that. And security, big challenge for folks. When you centralize the application that holds this data and you put it inside of a data center, you can put some very robust enterprise class security mechanisms around it that typically protect data centers and the servers that are in them. And so by using a virtual desktop infrastructure, application virtualization infrastructure, you can leverage these enterprise class security technologies. And you don't have to leave, you don't have to let the data actually leave the data center. You can put an application in what's called eyes only mode, which means people can see it, they can touch it, but they can't take the data away from it.
That way no one can lose it and get in the front page of the Washington Post, huh?
Absolutely. No one wants to be there for that reason.
During the break, I was talking with you about doctors and this technology, and I said, well, from a personal perspective, I mean, what about the bedside manner? Is this going to help a doctor looking at me, checking on my foot or something? I can't see how it will. Will it benefit the end user here, the person in the bed who's ill?
You know, it's interesting. You would not think it would, right? Because how do computers help help doctors, right?
Maybe nerds like me, right. But not normal people who fall down the steps or something.
So one of the biggest challenges in today's healthcare world is that doctors typically have a limited amount of time they can spend with the patient because, quite frankly, they need to be able to see as many patients in a day as possible. And a lot of times that's limited to 10 or 15 minutes for each patient visit. And if a doc enters an exam room and has to log into the EMR application to be able to find out what's going on with the patient and be able to put some chart records in and things like that, and it takes a long time for them to be able to, say, log into that application and then put their notes in, well, that time they're spending typing those notes in and waiting for the application to log in for them is time wasted that they could be spending with the patient talking about diagnosis, talking about other things that could help the patient. Electronic health records in a virtualized world can follow a clinician throughout their day from exam room to exam room without having to force the doc to go through extraneous long log-on processes. And that's a big key benefit.
Lots of benefits with virtualization. We can go on for another half hour, but unfortunately, we're running out of time here. We spent the last half hour speaking with Joe Brown, the president of Accelera Solutions. We talked about virtualization, virtualizing the desktop. And then last segment, we talked about putting it in work boots and applying it to the medical situation here in the United States. And I think if you read the newspapers, all kinds of people interested in that. And maybe we have an application where technology can assist simple people like me who wind up in the hospital. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Joe Brown, president of Accelera Solutions. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
It was such a surreal experience to be getting ready for class and then a few hours later being diagnosed with cancer. It's just unbelievable. I was told I had 2.5 years to live.
When John Ivey was diagnosed with cancer, he couldn't afford the medicine he needed.
When it came down to money, it's very devastating. And here's a new drug that's potentially life-saving. And then all of a sudden to be told you can't afford it, you can't have it, I was dying, and I wanted to live.
John contacted Novartis about the medicine he needed.
They told us to just forget about the money portion of it. They basically eliminated that part of the equation and said, let's just get you well. If it wasn't for people like that, people like me wouldn't be here.
Developing new medicines, getting them to the patients who need them. Novartis. Think what's possible.